Sinner has come home. There's a I walk through this land. Well, he was cleansing the leper with just the touch of his hand. All the mysteries of God, I just can't understand. But I know that I'll ever know, it will be Jesus telling me it's my time to go. My mansion, it's now ready to move in. But you see, my work here, it's not finished in this world below. But I'm ready and waiting when it's my time to go.
Have your Bible, I want to read Exodus chapter 13, if you want to turn 14. 13 and 14, how about that? That'll get you close. One day this week, I don't remember what day it was, I was reading just a little bit, and sometimes when you read just sometimes the scripture, I don't know how to explain this part. You be reading along, and you know, your particular day, you go through things. Some days you're here, all right? You know, some days you're right there. Some days you just can't wait. Everything is gold coming out of that Bible, you know. And then some days you're reading and it's about right here. And it's kind of, you know, you read some of the genealogies in the Bible, and, well, okay, you know. But sometimes reading John 3:16 can get you about right there. If you don't know what I mean, you just wait a minute. But anyhow, I was reading something, and then all of a sudden I read just a couple of words. And it was in the verse, and I'm not sharing the verses. But it was just like one of them things that God didn't have my name on none of those other verses that I was reading. But then all of a sudden, it was two words. And those were the two words that God sent me that day. Now, it didn't mean nothing. I could have called Charlene. I could have called her and I could have said, hey, it read that verse. You know what? She'd probably say, okay. Why? It wasn't for her. Those two words for me. Now, you're going to have days when you just don't get a hold of God. Where it just doesn't, it just didn't work. But on the days that God will speak directly to you, it's almost like he put those two words in there just for me on that day. It made my whole day it went a whole lot smoother. Amen. Now, what I'm trying to say is, if you'll put God where he needs to be in your life, you're going to have the ups and downs. But when it comes time, God knows exactly what you need when you need it. And whenever you get that, you never know. You never know what the scripture says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to lie ahead, but God will always be with us. And he'll never forsake you. And I depend on his word because I can't depend on me. I got to depend on his word. You've had time to get there, so we'll read a little bit just... Not much. I want you to read with me in the 14th chapter. I may have told you 13 or 14. A lot of times I use that right there. That's how I know how to find it, okay? I want to read just very little out of this 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. I want to start with just one simple verse, verse number 21. 21st verse. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessed word. I thank you, God, that you've allowed us to be here and to be able to sing the songs. But God, I ask you, God, for your guidance this morning, your direction. God, you know our heart. You know what we stand in need of. But God, you know what others need. You know their hearts. And God, I pray you'll speak to all of us. God, help us to glorify you for what you do. God, help us, God, right now. God, as we undertake, God, to preach your word, and we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Where it says Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind. And it caused that strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land and the waters were divided. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it? But that was a huge verse. When the children of Israel over in the land of Egypt, they had lived under bondage for many of them all of their life. Some of the elder ones that were alive in that time frame thought they had prayed. They had prayed and they had prayed for God to deliver them. You know, in our current generation, we're living where we haven't had a lot of trouble in most of our lifetime. We've lived through some of the minor wars, and I hate to say it that way, but like the Vietnam War, which took so many lives that we would know, but that's really all we really know. But yet we've got people in our society today that like to bring up and call certain folks of our day like Hitler. Now, we weren't around. Most of us weren't around during that time frame. But when Hitler was around, he wanted to imprison and embody and kill many folks for no particular reason. In fact, the Jews were one of his main culprits that he liked to kill. It's kind of amazing how that we would associate and call folks like a Hitler. No, there's no comparison. We don't know an individual that corrupt and that vile. But Pharaoh was. Pharaoh was. He would take and enslave people every single day of their life. He put them in such bondage and slavery. And in fact, the God of the children of Israel, he never recognized at all. He didn't want God in his mind and his thoughts and his thinking and his actions and doings. In fact, everything about Pharaoh was all about himself and the Egyptian people and make them bigger, stronger, mightier, but yet let the slavery of the people continue. It's all right if you're on the Pharaoh side, but it's not so good if you're on the Jewish side. It's never good to be a slave, is it? Once again, we've not faced some of the slavery things. But this particular verse begins with Moses stretched out his hand. Sound like Moses had power, but Moses didn't have any power. Amen. Sound like Moses had heard a word from God, though. Yeah. And when Moses had got a word from God, God told him, said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go by that land and I want you to just stretch your hand out there. Now, me and you could say, well, what good's that going to do? Well, man stretching his hand out over a body of water is not going to do very much. But if God's behind it, it's going to do a whole lot. It's kind of like salvation. Salvation don't sound like a much. If salvation on this side, while I'm breathing, while I'm living, salvation don't sound like very much at all. But friend, whenever the moment you die, salvation is going to lead you into the portals of glory. You see, there's a big old difference, isn't it? This Bible is just a book. It's just a book. But friend, it's that same book that I read and love because of what the words that's in it means makes life to me. If I took an encyclopedia and I took the Bible, which one would I choose? Knowledge of man might be in an encyclopedia, but I got a word of God that comes to me that's going to last throughout all eternity. And that word will stand when man's going to fall. See, there's a big old difference. On this day, Moses stretched forth his hand. Stretched forth his hand and that east wind just began to blow. That's all. God could have made it done a whole different way. God can do everything that he wants to in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye if he wanted to. But God chose that particular time to do it that particular way. And the children of Israel were all standing by watching God work. All of God's people were watching. And that wind began to blow. At the first one, that strong east wind began to blow, nothing really materialized. Nothing really happened. It took a little bit of time. I don't know how God's working in your life, but sometimes God works slow. God doesn't, friend, God can take all of our problems and make them go away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But sometimes God works slow. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, if I put that in the old country boy English, that means sometimes when I pray, I don't get an answer from God. Sometimes when I pray and I pray again day after day after day and I'm thinking, wait a minute, is God hearing me? Am I wasting my words? Am I wasting my time? The children of Israel sat there on that bank and they all of a sudden the Moses stretches out his hand and the wind starts to blow. We can say it, Moses stretched out his hand and the wind begins to blow. But after a period of time, there was a change. Years and years ago, I used to play around with, now I'm talking many years ago. I hadn't been around hogs in so many years, I done forgot what they smell like, okay? And if you've ever been around a hog pen, you know what I'm talking about. But I used to peel around with hogs, and whenever I used to have to feed them, that was really rough. Because you get out there, and you didn't wear your Sunday best going to the hog pen. You had to get your boots on, because if you didn't get your boots on, you paid for it later. But you get them old smelly boots on, but they help you out of the mire of that mud, okay? And you get out there and you feed them animals when it was cold and cold and cold, all right? And you hated and you murmured and you griped and you complained, but the best time's when you take them old hogs and you'd sell them and you'd make a dollar or two. Now that's the way you did on the farm. I hated it for many, many times, but it was just on that one occasion that I was happy with hogs. Out of all the bad things that happen, because there's not really much with hogs that you can't ride them. It ain't like a horse you get on and ride and do and had a lot of fun. You can't ride a hog. I tried. It don't work. They don't cooperate when you rub them. No, you can't really rub them. They ain't much good. They're worthless only on one day. But you put up with them the rest of the time. Here's why I'm saying that. The children of Israel were the most grumbling, grappingest people I've ever seen in my life. And you know who they remind me of? Us. Us. We murmur, we gripe, we complain, we look around and we don't really have a reason to smile most of the time. And most of the time we don't. But yet, on one day, the children of Israel had the waters roll back. They had been wishing all of their life to be free from bondage. Many of them, that's all they ever knew. But on that one day, God granted it. And they walked over on dry land, headed to the promised land. You know, it's amazing. You can spend your entire life, but only on one day, all that changes. All that changes. I don't know what sin does, but sin has a way of just destroying everything good in our lives. Sometimes I've been saved for many, many years now, many years now. And sometimes the devil likes to bring up the sins that we committed in our lives. Does he ever do that to you, or is it just me? Does he ever bring up all the bad things you've ever done in your life? Does he ever bring up all the things? Friend, if we think we're going to be perfect in this world, we're fooling ourselves. We can't live good enough and holy enough to go to heaven. There, if it wasn't by the grace of God, none of us are going to get to go. And it's not an individual thing that we've ever done. But the devil likes to bring up things that we've done wrong before we got saved and even since we've been saved. Friend of mine, it was very easy for the children of Israel to cross over into the promised land and think their troubles was going to be over. But their troubles weren't over. But what God does, when God saves our soul, He wipes our slate clean. He forgives us of our sins, and according to the scriptures, never to be remembered against us no more. All of my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what I have a problem doing? What I have a problem doing is sometimes seeing, listening to the devil, and the devil wants me to remember how it was while I was in slavery. He wants me to remember what it was like whenever you sinned and you come short of the glory of God. He wants you to remember all those bad things. Friend of mine, I want you to know what really happened when Moses raised his hand and that water began to be blown away and on dry land. When the children of Israel crossed over, Pharaoh and his armies were following. Now listen to this. I won't take but a, and you just listen. You don't even have to look at it and read it. But listen to what it says in the 14th chapter. And here's what the verse 9 says. The Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them by encamping by the sea. Before they ever crossed over this wonderful water that was opened up, before they ever got there, Pharaoh's army had come all the way up to the sea, and God held them back. God wouldn't let them go any further. Listen to what happened, though. The verse says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh or near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Before they ever got there, God held them back. But when God held them back, the fear set in on the children of Israel. What have we done? You ever come to church and regretted coming to church? You ever come to church and you say, oh, I wished I hadn't have come. You see, the devil will throw everything at you to make anything that is good look bad. Listen, I'll repeat this a million more times, but that altar bench has nothing. There's no virtue in it. There's nothing holy in it. There's nothing. Friend, it's just material padding of some wood. But it's dedicated unto God, which means I can come right here to this old step right here that I step on many hundreds of times, or I can go to that altar. It's a place where I can meet God. It's a place where I can kneel and I can pray to God. Friend, it's just a bench. It's just a step. But if you will offer yourself and present yourself in front of God, you can come to God to a little place like nothing and pour out your heart to God. You can do the same right there at your pew. You can do the same right beside your bed where you sleep. You can offer yourself unto God. Now listen carefully and listen. When the children of Israel were looking at Pharaoh, they did not see the promise of God. But when the children of Israel looked at when Moses stretched forth his hand, and all of a sudden the water began to recede little by little by little by little, they began to see the hand of God working. Now, they didn't see the hand of God working whenever they were looking at the face of Pharaoh coming after them. They only saw the hand of God working when it became little by little by little. Now you listen carefully. The hand of God can work in your life little by little if you'll let Him. What was amazing is on the night that I got saved, God didn't save me little by little. He saved me all at once. Whenever I asked God to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, bingo, I was saved. Not on the installment plan, not come back and get baptized later on, not join the church, none of those things. On the night that I got saved, I asked God to save my soul, bingo, I'm saved. Johnny on the spot. The reason that I'm saved is because I know I did what God wanted me to do and asked for forgiveness of sin. Come in, moved in right there. You know what direction I began to look? I began to look toward the direction of God and not toward the direction of Pharaoh or the direction of the devil. There's a scripture in the book of Corinthians that says something like this. It says, O death, where's your victory? talks about the grave. Oh, grave, where's your victory? In other words, I can take death, and I can talk about death, and I can talk about the grave, and it talks about the sting of death. I can talk about those two things, and those are the two things that human beings on this side of the earth, on this side, we all know if the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. Every one of us. And every one of us that dies, we're going to be put in the grave or the ground or some sort of way, but we're going under. It's going to happen. And if we consider that the final, then I got news for you. Pharaoh would have won. If that was the final, God was holding them back. But if that was the final, the devil's going to win. But that's not the final. In fact, oh, grave, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your victory? See, the difference is when God makes a way of escape, you take it. The children of Israel didn't have to make one step over that land. They said, oh no, that water will come back down on us. But when they took that step and walked over on dry land, it was like the same thing that me and you, a step by faith. I still believe it's possible. I still believe it's possible. And I believe it can happen. I believe a person can get saved the moment that they accept the Word of God by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What, friend, it's when you get up from where you're at and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to go to Jesus. You don't have to kneel in prayer. You can stand and pray. It doesn't take the outward emotion. It's the inward heart that gets a soul saved. When an individual comes to God and asks God to save their soul, I don't care where you're at, what are you doing? You can get saved. But listen to me. Listen to me. When the children of Israel walked over on dry ground, occasionally, you remember them wishing for the pomegranates that they said? Occasionally they would want to look back. Now the Bible tells us that a man that is plowing, got his hands on the plow, and if he looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now what does that kind of mean? That means there's opportunities for us sometimes that we kind of want to look back to where we was. But the reality of it is, God wants us to press forward. Amen. To look for the future. If mine and yours affairs are on Egypt and on the backside, we're not much use for God. You know where our use really comes in at? It's when we believe a man like Moses just stretches forth his hand. Now, why does that make any sense, preacher? That don't make any sense. Just wait just a moment. Moses obeyed the command or the voice of God by stretching forth his hand. When, if you remember when the ark of God was going to the brink of the water and then the priests, they put their step into that water and the water receded back. You know why that happened? Because man obeyed God in following. You know what? Every miracle that has ever taken place in the Bible happens when you follow the direction God gives you. Now, I want you to know something this morning. The only way for salvation is to come to God. No other way. In fact, the Bible says there's none other name given among men. There's none other name under heaven. There's none other name given to mankind where you can be. There's not another name. Only the name of Jesus. We are not coming to religion. We're not coming because, oh, this is the greatest church. We know this ain't the greatest church in the world. But a friend of mine, it's the church that Jesus died for. Amen. And that makes it the greatest church in the world. Yeah. It's not the individuals that come to the church that make a good church. No, sir. If we don't have God in the church, we don't have a church. God has to be with us. God has to lead. And when the children of Israel walked over on the dry ground, where were they headed? They were headed to the promised land. I've got news for you. I may grumble and gripe on this side, but I'll not grumble and gripe on the other side. Let me show you something. It won't take me but just a second. Let me show you what it says in verses 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of folks that think all I've got to do is just follow along and I'll be all right. If I just follow, in other words, if I go to church, that's good enough. Hey, I can sing the song. Hey, you know, we don't care who comes and sings. They just come on. Friend, we can do a whole lot of things. We can say, man, just come on to church. Be right here, one of us. But you know where the separation comes in? God's the one that controls the final say. Now, Pharaoh followed right along. Why didn't God let Pharaoh go to the promised land? Hey, the promised land was just across the water. All he had to do, let's just go. Why don't we just let everybody, go to heaven? Heaven's got to be a good place. It's walk on streets of pure gold. Man, God's building us a mansion. We're going to have a wonderful place to prepared for us. Why don't everybody go? Because, friend, there's an obedience of one. By the righteousness of one. By the holiness of one. You see, there were two thieves crucified with Jesus. One saw himself a sinner. The other one saw himself justified just as good as anybody else. If you be Christ, get us down. He would have been like Pharaoh. If they went, let me go too. But that one thief said, Lord, would you just remember me when you come in your kingdom? He realized he wasn't good enough, but Christ was good enough. When Pharaoh marched on that same path, the same direction, the same thing as all of the children of Israel, when they got there in the middle, God said, that's enough. That's as far as you go. Me and you are side by side. When death comes knocking, I will get to go further into glory, not because of old preacher Tally. I get to go because of Jesus Christ. Amen. I get to go not because I'm a Baptist, because Baptist ain't going to get you one step in glory. I get to go because of Jesus Christ. Yeah. On the other hand, if you try to just follow along, you're going to find the waters come crashing in on you. You're going to find that hell will be... Oh, preacher, I don't like for folks to talk about hell. Friend, if hell is a reality. There's folks burning in the pits of hell right now thinking they're as good as everybody else. And I guarantee you, there's a whole lot of good people in this world better than this old preacher, better than me by a long shot. But it's not how good I am that's going to get me to heaven. It's who I know, and I know Jesus Christ. He lives within my heart. May I ask you a simple question? Are we looking back? Are we looking back? Have we not been in the hog pen of the stink and the smell of this world? Have we not done the things of this world, some pleasing and some not so pleasing in our own life? But once we get a glimpse of that promised land, there's a way out. And the door that Jesus is the door, once that door is open, here's what the Bible says. I stand at the door and I'll knock. And if you hear my voice and you open the door, I'll come in. If you read Revelation chapter 3 and 20, whenever you get time, you'll hear that. I'm going to knock. Let him in. A friend of mine this morning, if you've never been saved, you're invited to come. You're invited to cross over into the promised land. I am just as sure for heaven as if I was already there. All because of Jesus Christ. And if you want to be saved today, you can come. But if you reject him, the waters will come crashing in on you one day. May we have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. I don't know your heart or your life. I can't tell you a lot of things about this world. The prosperity of this world. I'm not smart. Don't claim to be and don't want to be. The only thing that I got going for me is the Lord. That's it. That's it. I don't have, man, don't have a full load up here. But what I've got right here makes up the difference. And when I have him in my heart, I get to go to heaven. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Is Jesus the Savior of your soul? May we stand to our feet, sing a verse. If God's speaking to you, you come today. Would you please? Think about where you're at, where your life is. Think about your future. Not what happened yesterday, because we can't change that. But friend of mine, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow belongs to God. Belongs to eternity, as the scripture says.